Support for this podcast and the following message come from Allianz Travel Insurance. An unexpected medical emergency can cost you. It can cost you even more when you're traveling abroad. Protect your trip at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Alexei Navalny's spokesperson has confirmed that the Russian opposition leader died at a remote Arctic penal colony yesterday. Kiri Yarmish says his mother received official notification of his death, but that it is not clear where the body is. Navalny's team is demanding his body be returned to the family immediately, but officials say that won't happen until tests are completed. His wife, Yuliana, is attending the Munich Security Conference, where she met with Vice President Harris.
I met with his wife, Yulia, yesterday and expressed my outrage and sorrow in this fight. And I will say that Alexei Navalny has been a brave leader who stood up against corruption and autocracy, and he stood up for the truth.
Meanwhile, Russian authorities arrested hundreds of mourners who came to lay flowers and memorials to victims of Soviet-era purges. With U.S. military aid delayed for months now, President Biden today spoke by phone with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, reiterating the U.S.'s support for Ukraine. This as Zelensky warned that an artificial deficit of weapons will give Russia breathing room. He spoke in Munich hours after Ukraine pulled its forces out of the eastern town of Avdiivka, handing Russia its first major battlefield success since last summer. The BBC's Andrew Harding has more.
Ukrainian forces are pulling out of Avdiivka after one of the longest and bloodiest battles of the war. Ukraine's top military commander said Russian troops had almost encircled the town, and he was withdrawing his forces in order to prevent them from being surrounded. This is a significant moment for the Kremlin, its first major battlefield success since last summer. Avdiivka itself is not much of a prize, but its fall will strengthen Russia's chances of pushing on towards more strategic towns in the region.
The BBC's Andrew Harding reporting. The U.S. House is balking at passing a $95 billion bipartisan bill for aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The Department of Veterans Affairs is trying to fix a glitch in the VA's home loan process that has put 40,000 vets in danger of foreclosure. NPR's Quill Lawrence has more.
The VA offered what's called a forbearance during the pandemic. It allowed people to temporarily skip mortgage payments. But VA abruptly canceled that program, and lenders started demanding all the missed payments immediately. Iraq veteran Edmund Garcia said he's being threatened with foreclosure after he took the VA's offer of help.
They said that they were going to keep my payments comparable to what I was paying. They told veterans that they were going to help them. I want them to honor it.
At a congressional hearing this week, the VA said it was working on a fix that will let veterans resume their normal payments, but gave few details on how the process will work. VA says it will be ready by May. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. In Cincinnati, an artist's murals have captured the essence of the city's Black communities for years. But those neighborhoods are changing, and the murals are disappearing. From member station WVXU, Nick Swartzel has more.
William Rankins Jr. painted dozens of murals in Cincinnati's Black neighborhoods between the 1980s and the early 2000s. They featured pop culture icons, political figures like Barack Obama, and local residents. But the march of time and redevelopment have claimed many of them, much to the artist's consternation.
Y'all gonna paint over me too? You know, that's how I feel, like they just taking me off the map.
Rankins has lost his eyesight, and the future of his remaining murals is uncertain. He's looking to find ways to preserve his legacy before the last of them go. For NPR News, I'm Nick Swartzel in Cincinnati.
Three hydroelectric projects in Arizona on the Navajo Nation have been rejected by federal officials, and tribal officials are praising the decision. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission denied permits Thursday for water storage projects in the Black Mesa region of the Navajo Nation, where communities on the high plateau rely on aquifers that are 2,000 to 3,000 feet below the ground. Officials say that area gets less than 8 inches of rainfall a year, and that makes it dependent on these groundwater sources. The commission cited a new policy that gives tribes a greater voice in projects on their lands. Officials say hydro projects, though, on tribal lands are still possible. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Allianz Travel Insurance. Don't get caught without emergency medical coverage on an international trip. Learn how Allianz Travel Insurance can protect your trip from the unexpected at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.